In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Advent is a time of repentance. Thus we have the violet pyramids. This is a fitting way to prepare for Christmas. But we are not just simply preparing for a historical fact. We can't redo Christmas. It is a past event with, yes, present implications, but we are not living for the past. We are living for the future. And so we are not simply during this Advent season preparing ourselves for Christmas. More importantly, we are preparing ourselves for the coming of our Lord. He comes at the last day. So we have purple because we are preparing for the Lord's coming on the clouds of heaven. And repentance is the only way we can be prepared. Repentance is more than sorrow. It is sorrow over sin, but it also is faith in Christ. Faith is not sad, but faith joyfully anticipates the coming of Christ on the last day. It does fast, but it also feasts. Repentance takes responsibility for all the actions that we have committed. It doesn't try to give them to someone else and play a victim. But it takes ownership of its own words and actions so that it might also then receive forgiveness for those words and actions. Repentance always flows into a life of repentance or fruits of faith. So repentance involves an ordering, a reordering of our heart, our mind, our will, our soul, our desires. It is intentionally living, deliberately speaking and acting. We are new in Christ, and we desire to manifest that new and holy life to the world around us. You are not immoral, but you are holy. You are not death, but you are life. You are not selfish, but you are love, even as God is love. You are not worldly, but you are heavenly. And so daily you repent. Turn away from sin and toward God in faith. Daily you subject your sinful flesh so that a new man might emerge and arise to live before God in true righteousness and purity forever. A daily activity. Because as long as you live on this earth, you are at the same time a saint and a sinner. And that is typified by these two donkeys. Jesus only rides the colt, but he asks for both. And so the donkey typifies the sinful flesh, while the colt points to the new man within. The old Adam, the sinful nature, original sin, inherited sin, Scripture has many different names for that flesh, that sin. But that old Adam is like a stubborn donkey. It does not submit to the law of God. Indeed, it cannot. It is only evil all the time. It never desires the things of God. It never improves. It never gets better. You reform a sinner and you simply get a reformed sinner. It doesn't seek the things of God. And this is the first gift that your father ever gave to you. Sinful from birth, sinful from the time our mothers conceived us. It produces works of death. It cannot please God at all because its very nature is standing in rebellion against God. It hates the law of God and will not follow. When it does follow, it is only for self-preservation, to avoid punishments or chastisement. It is beaten and driven along to obey the law of God only externally, never from the heart, never out of love, never out of love for God or for fellow man, but only to avoid something or maybe to receive some kind of reward. We can't say that the sinful nature is not part of us because God does not send the sinful nature to hell. He sends sinners to hell. And St. Paul says that at one time we were by nature objects of wrath, not simply our sinful self, but we at one time were. And so this sinful flesh is a mighty adversary that we struggle and fight against daily. On the other side, there's the new man, the colt, the one who willingly follows Christ. Again, we must not think of this new man as something distinct and separate from us, but it is us, since we are the ones who were baptized into Christ. This new man desires the things of God. It wants to please him. It wants to walk in his ways and hear his word and believe what he has promised. Where the sinful flesh is driven along by coercions and punishments and threats, the new man willingly does the work of the law without ever having to be told. He is new. He never stumbles. He never falls. He never sins, but he is pure and spotless and without blemish. This new man is a creation of Christ. So there is only holiness in him. He is always and fully subordinated to the word of God, both in believing and in living. As Christ stood atop that mount, he sent two disciples ahead of him to untie the colt and its mother and to bring them to him. So it is Christ who sends out his apostles to preach the gospel to the world so that we might be released from our bonds of slavery and might be made a holy possession for him. His will is now our will. His joy is our joy. His desires are our desires. That's why we are here today. We love the things of God and seek to hear of the great things he has done for us. His righteousness is also our righteousness as he drapes his garments over us, giving us all that he has accomplished. He does not reform or fix or save the sinful flesh, but only the new man. And so this colt and this donkey walk together, the old Adam and the new man together, the flesh and faith together. This is why you do not do the things that you want to do. You are holy, but you are not yet perfect. You struggle on this earth because you still have a sinful flesh that rises up and leads you to words, actions, and feelings that are contrary to the word of God. This should not surprise us. We should not be surprised when we think something contrary to God's word. It popped into our head because we still have a sinful flesh. We should not be surprised when we kind of want to make Christmas about presents and family and not about Jesus, and certainly not about his sacrament on the altar where Christ comes bodily to us. We should not be surprised when our own desires and words and actions are contrary to the new man. We still struggle against a fallen flesh. The world is surprised when Christians fall into sin. They call us hypocrites, as if they are shocked we're not yet perfect or holy, but we are not, because we understand we still fight against the flesh. We are saints, but still sinners. We are holy, but not yet perfected. We are struggling forward as we walk toward the New Jerusalem. It does not surprise us, but rather it leads us to repentance and faith. Turn away from sin and toward God in faith. So understand what you are, at the same time a saint and a sinner, so that you might understand what you do and what the proper remedy is. Repentance. Get rid of the old and put on the new. God doesn't save original sin. He doesn't clothe original sin in his holiness or righteousness. He doesn't give the old Adam a place in his kingdom. Instead, he drowns it. He kills it. He cuts it off by his law. So learn the law of God so that you might see the working of this fallen flesh still in you. And then he raises up a new man by his gospel, one who trusts and loves. A colt is not as strong as a full-grown donkey, so who of us is strong enough to fight against the impulses of our sinful nature? Thus, when we are weak, we are strong. The one who rode to Calvary bearing our sins is the one who gives us this victory. He paid for all sin and died our death, not simply to wash away the sins that we have committed, but so that when we are baptized, we might die to our sinful self and be raised with Christ in a new creation. Christ lives free from all sins, so also you have been raised to a new life. And he gives you his word and his sacrament of the altar to strengthen and sustain this faith until he comes again. He knows the struggle that you face. At the same time, a saint and a sinner. Sometimes that manifests outwardly. Most times it's an inner struggle that no one sees. The flesh tries to dethrone Christ. And yet here is Christ. Here is Christ ready to give you his gifts once more. He doesn't wait to come to you at the last day, but he comes to you right now in word and sacrament so that his victory might be your victory, his conquest might be your praise. Though your sinful flesh is stubborn, Christ will not leave you. Though it kicks and tugs in its own direction, Christ will still gently guide you so that you will reach the New Jerusalem. So we must remember Violet Perimus. We must remember that as long as we are on this earth, we are at the same time a saint and a sinner in need of repentance. It's a struggle, but Christ is with us, so we cannot fail. This is why St. Paul continues to urge us in the epistle reading we heard for today, make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires, but put on the Lord Christ. This is why you continue to train your body and discipline your mind to be self-controlled. For it is precisely in your passions and desires that the sinful flesh first seeks to rise up and gain a foothold in your life. So an important rule in this struggle is simply this: do at once the very thing that the sinful flesh is trying to prevent. When you are tempted to complain to God, immediately praise him for his great work for you in Christ. When you are tempted to covet and to be dissatisfied with what God has given, begin to sing, "Now thank we all our God." When you are tempted to be distracted and so ignore the task in front of you, immediately take up the task with joy, if for no other reason than to simply spite your flesh. External discipline is needed, but external discipline is not enough. The word is needed. So if it is not yet your daily discipline to listen to the word of God, I urge you this Advent season to do just that. Hear God's word, for it is that word which drowns your flesh and raises up a new man, strengthens him, so that you might believe and live. The sinful flesh is a great adversary, and it will remain with you until the day you die. Don't underestimate it, but neither should you be afraid of it. Christ bled for you. Christ washed you. Christ freed you. Christ drowned that flesh and raised up in you a new man, and he continues to strengthen that new man by coming in word and sacrament, so that he might deepen your desire for eternal things. He knows your struggle, and he will not leave you. but he comes so that you might be his. So repent and believe in his name. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.